Blog Talk Radio.
Go. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. Hello, Apostle. How you doing this evening?
Hello. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing wonderful. God is good. God is good. He's a good God. All the time, he's good. And I like to say hello to everybody who's listening all around the world. I tell you, God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
Well, I'm enjoying this weather. this winter wonderland, I tell you. This is a good time just to enjoy God and enjoy family.
Yes, indeed. The best time we have.
Yes, sir. I tell you, because everything is all right. I tell you, one of your friends that you knew, used to say, when you're on God's side, you're on the winning side.
Is
that what he used to say, Apostle?
That's what he used to say. Yes,
your friend used to say, amen, Bishop Otis Clark.
Otis Clark, amen. Praise the living God.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Amen. Well, hallelujah.
Well, if you're ready for the word, if you got your Bibles, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians.
All right.
Chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. The scripture says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always, underline that always, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We ought to always be abounding in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Abounding. We shouldn't be slacking up. We shouldn't be cutting back. We shouldn't be closing down. How could you abound if you're doing that? He says that we should always be abounding in the work of the Lord. I remember a few times things had gotten hard in my ministry. Things had gotten hard, and I would talk to my wife and start talking to her about, well, maybe we need to let go of this and let go of that. Maybe we need to. And my wife would look at me. She said, God didn't tell us to do that. God says abound. She brought it back, brought the scripture back. She's my helpmeet, you know. And she brought it back to my attention, the word of God. And that's right. God didn't tell us to close down and cut off. If anything, and just because we see people do it and it seems like they're having some success, it doesn't mean that we should be doing that. The Bible says that we should always be abounding. You can't be abounding in the work of the Lord if you're shutting down certain works. If you're cutting back. God says here that we should always be abounding. So shutting down and closing up ministries and cutting back, that's not of God. That's not God's way. And just because we see some people doing it and seemingly they're still having some success, it doesn't mean that we should do it. God says that we should always be abounding in what? In the work of the Lord.
Amen.
For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. So just because it seems like something's not working out, you shouldn't be shutting it down. Because God says it's not in vain. So for God to be telling us that, then sometimes it must look like it's not working out. That's why God comes back and he says, hey, it's what? It's not in vain. And so the message God has given me for those who are listening today is don't be moved.
Don't be moved.
Don't be moved. God has already told us. It's going to look like at times what we're doing.
Amen. You there? Hello?
It's not in vain. He's encouraging us here. God is encouraging us here in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He says, son, daughter, sometimes your ministry is going to look like it's not working out. But don't quit, because I want you to abound, always abound in the work of the Lord. But I want you to know that when it looks like it's not working, don't you be moved, because your work is what? Not in vain. It's not in vain. So the message God told me to give you tonight is don't be moved. When things look like they're not working, don't be moved. You've got to be steadfast. That word, you know, steadfast, it means to be stable, immovable, permanent. We've got to be steadfast, permanent. So don't be shutting down ministries because you think that it's not working. Don't be cutting back because it looks like what you're doing is not working. I've heard people say, I've heard ministers say, hey, if it's not working, you know, I've heard them encourage people to quit. Well, I don't see anywhere in the Word of God where God encourages people to quit a ministry. Have you seen that, Apostle?
No.
I haven't seen that. I always see God saying what? What did Jesus remember? Even when the disciples, they were fishing all night one time.
Yeah.
They were cleaning the nets.
Yeah.
And what did Yeshua tell them? He told Peter to go back out there again.
Go back again.
But Peter said, Master, we've been what? Toiling all night long. But what did Jesus say? Go back out there again. And Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word, Jesus, I will what?
I will go
out there and do it again. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will go out there and cast my net again. You see, God didn't, you know, and he will tell you to keep going. Your labor is not in vain. He sends words of encouragement when things get hard, when things look like they're not working. And then he comes and says, beloved, be ye what? Steadfast. Be stable. Be immovable. Be unmovable. And he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Mm-hmm. For as much as you know that your labor, your labor, your work is not in vain in the Lord. Why would God have to tell us that? If it was not looking to us like it's not working, he's telling us this because us as ministers, at times it looks like it's not what? Working. Isn't that right, Apostle?
That's it.
So God comes and encourages us not to be moved. And so some of you all who are listening tonight, maybe someone, you're feeling like, hey, what you're toiling, you're laboring, but you're not getting the results that you've been looking for. It's looking like it's not working. God just wanted me to share with you tonight, don't be moved.
Don't be moved.
Don't start having second thoughts.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's the devil. That's the devil shooting those fiery darts at you.
Yes.
Don't start having second thoughts. I don't think this is working. I don't think it's working. What did you say, Jurgen? And start coming up with a new plan.
Yeah.
And start saying things like, oh, my season is up. Saying things like that. Well, no, God don't talk like that. God says always what? Abound in the work. If anything, Apostle, we're to be adding on to what we're already doing.
Yes. My God. Hey.
Not subtracting, not cutting back. We need to be adding on, if anything, to what we're doing. We need to be adding on. Don't be moved. When things are looking like they're not working, don't let that move you. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always adding on to the work that you're doing. Don't be moved. Don't start having second thoughts. Don't start looking back. Look at Luke chapter 9. I know God is talking to someone tonight. God is talking to someone tonight, Apostle.
Amen.
I know when God is talking to someone. He's talking to someone tonight. He's talking to someone that's been moved, that's been having second thoughts about what they're doing in the ministry. God told me to tell you not to be moved. Look at Luke chapter 9. Don't be moved. No, ministry is not for spaghetti back people. We've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yeah, ministry is not for wimps. You've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Yeah.
Some people, oh, they're all gung-ho and ready to serve when everything is peachy cream, when everything is going good. Well, and then when things get hard, they be looking for a way out.
Yes. My God.
That's right. Paul said endure hardship like a good soldier. That's what Paul told Timothy, endure hardship like a good soldier. Don't start looking back. Luke chapter 9, and let's look at verses 59 through 62. Luke chapter 9, verses 59 through 62. And he said unto another, follow me. Jesus said, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.
Oh, my God.
His father had died. And he said, Jesus, you're sure? Let me go bury my father first. What did Jesus say in verse 6? Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead.
Yeah.
But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Look at that. Uh-huh. Jesus didn't say, it's all right. You know what? To have second thoughts, and Jesus didn't say, oh, it's all right, you know what, to slack up. No, Jesus said, no, let the dead bury the dead. He said, what? You follow me and go and preach the kingdom of God. Look
Amen.
At verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. What did Jesus say? In verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You see, God don't want us to start looking back having second thoughts.
Amen.
Be moved. What you're doing in the kingdom is very important. It's not
very
time
important.
To start subtracting. We need to be adding on to our good works. It's not time to start having second thoughts and looking back. Jesus said, when you're like that, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You're not fit. You're not fit to work in God's kingdom when you're always looking back and having second thoughts and wanting to subtract from what you're already doing. No, 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 no. God tells us to add on. And I you know, when things got tough, you know, like we had a bills, like, you know, radio bills. I believe that time I was talking to my wife. I was thinking about coming off of the internet television. That's
yeah.
when we were with on Faith Vision. We were on Faith Vision. And, you know, that was the first time we started really going on the air through film. And things got real hard and real tight. And, you know, it didn't seem like as much money was coming into our ministry. So I talked to my wife. I said, well, maybe I need to cut off this Faith Vision, you know what, because we had a bill for that. And then my wife brought up the scripture, and she said, you know what, you know, God told us to abound in good work. And you know, I can't argue with the word. No. I can't argue with the word. I came to myself. I said, you know what? You're right. God didn't say subtract from his good works. He said what? Abound in good works. And I'm glad that we kept on going, because on the internet television, the faith vision, I'm glad we kept on going. Because I kept on going and stayed faithful, now today we've been on TV for over 5 years.
See that?
God gave us a television ministry. We were, when I was faithful with staying on the internet, God came back and rewarded us and put us on television not long after that.
My God.
Don't be moved. God told us, he said, if you be faithful over the few things, what did he say? He said, I'll make you ruler over many things.
Yes.
How you, when we take care and work what God has given us to work, he'll give us more.
Every time.
But he don't want us to start having second thoughts and looking back. He says, no, don't do that, because if you do that, you're not fit to work in my kingdom.
That's true.
That's not a compliment. That's a disgrace. That's not a compliment when God says this to someone. You're not fit to work in my kingdom. You spaghetti back thing, you. See, that's not a compliment. God said, be strong in him and in the power of his might. He don't want us having second thoughts and considering running and quitting. I mean, this is a give-up generation. So many people quitting. They quit on everything. They quit on their pastors. They quit on the ministry. They quit on a certain exercise routine. They quit on, they buy those worker out equipments that they see on TV and put them up under the bed and let them draw dust. This is a quitting generation. God says, don't be moved. We got to stop our quitting sometimes, so it might as well be now.
My God.
Don't be moved.
Said,
don't let your off days discourage you. Everybody has off days, even when you have an off day. Have you ever had an off day where you didn't make good decisions and you didn't do quite well that day? Have you ever had a day like that, Apostle?
Amen. Hallelujah.
I have too, Apostle. I have too. Everybody has off days. A day that when you mess up more than other days. You know what I'm talking about, Apostle?
Yes, sir.
There are some days that we just mess up more than other days. Well, don't let that discourage you. Don't get so hard on yourself when you mess up. You're going to mess up sometime.
Yes.
And so don't let that discourage you. Everybody has off days. Look at Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. Don't be moved. That's what God wanted me to encourage you with. Tonight, he wanted me to tell you, don't be moved.
Amen.
When it looks like things are not working, remember, they are working. It is working.
Yeah.
Your ministry is working. The devil is trying to lie to you. The devil is trying to get you to quit. It is working, because God says your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
It's not in vain.
So don't start subtracting and quitting what you're doing just because it seems to you in your little mind that things are not working. Look at Proverbs chapter 24 and look at verse 16. For the just man falleth seven times, and he riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. You see, the just man, that's you and I. If we fall seven times, that's all right. We're going to what? We're going to rise up again. Rise up again. Don't let your off days discourage you. We all have off days. We all have days where we mess up more than we did the day before. We all have those off days where we don't do so good. When you fall, God says what? Get back up and let's go at it again. Don't let your off days discourage you. don't start looking back, number one. Number two, don't let your off days discourage you. Look at Psalm 145. I pray that this is helping someone.
Amen.
Psalm 145. I do this because I love God. He's given me this door of opportunity, and
yes,
I want to see people helped. I want to see people encouraged to go on.
Yes.
Look at Psalm 145, and look at verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. Look at that. The Lord does what? He upholdeth all, not some, but all that what? Fall. And raiseth up all those that be bowed down. See, when you fall, God will raise you up. He raiseth up all those that fall. So don't use your failure as an excuse to quit. Don't use your failure, your off day, as a reason or an excuse to quit. Everybody has off days. Just remember, God's going to what? Raise you up. Though you fall seven times, God raises you up again. Though you fall, God upholdeth you. Isn't that wonderful?
Hallelujah.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's wonderful.
Because if you don't be careful, I've seen people do it. They'll try to talk you into quitting because of your mistake, because of your failure, because of your mess up. Instead of them trying to restore you with gentleness and kindness and love, man, some of these people will try to what, Apostle? They'll try to talk you into quitting and giving up on ministry.
Yeah.
Like they don't ever mess up.
My God. Tell the truth, brother. Tell the truth.
Look at Psalm 37.
My God.
Psalm 37 and verse 24. Though he fall, this is God talking now, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down or destroyed. Why?
Yeah.
For the Lord does what? Upholdeth him with his hand. God props him up. In other words, God will prop you up. Oh, glory to God. God's trying to prop people up and hold people up and keep people up. Some people in the body of Christ are trying to knock people down, trying to expose people and hurt people and destroy people. God is not in that business. He's trying to raise people and hold people and prop people and restore people.
Yes.
Don't let your off days discourage you. Everybody has them. Believe me. Everybody has them.
We do.
And my final point, press for the best and you'll get it. You keep pressing. Keep pressing for the best and you'll get it. Keep pressing for the best and you'll get it. Don't you give up. Don't you be moved. Don't you be moved. Don't listen to those discouragers. Don't listen to those who are sitting in the background. They just wishing for you to fall and fail and give up. They want you to quit. They want you to give up. Everyone that smiles in your face is not your friend.
That's right.
Keep your eyes open. Stay spiritually focused. Not everybody's for you. Everybody wasn't for Jesus. Everybody wasn't for him. Everybody wasn't for Yeshua. So don't think that everybody's for you. People are talking about you and they want you to quit. Don't be moved. Press for the best, and you'll get it. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I pray this is helping someone. James chapter 1, and look at verse 25. But whoso, James chapter 1, verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, you got to continue, you got to press, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You just keep pressing for the best, and you shall be blessed in your deeds. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
That is so wonderful. God's encouraging you. Press, continue therein, and be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Continue to keep doing the work. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Keep being a doer of the work, and you will be blessed in your deed.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. We're to be merciful and friendly with people. And by this, people will depart from evil. You see someone being wrong, we're to be what? Merciful. We're to be merciful. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. We need to press for the best, and we'll get it. Keep pressing. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And that's what God wanted me to share with everyone tonight. Don't you be moved. Don't be moved.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you know, tonight's been a night that we just heard the great word of God. We've heard God speak to us. We've heard God tell us some things that he wanted to tell us. He wanted done. And, you know, it's up to us. We got to do what God has said. We got to start taking what God has said. God said. And one thing I love about God will never lie. He will never lie. God will never lie. He will never lie. And he says, I lie not. And so when we take what he said tonight in the book of Corinthians and the book of Luke, what God has done for us, it takes us all to stay with the present, move of God. So I just want to say to all that are listening in here tonight that God has blessed you beyond your understanding. And so I just come to say tonight, I thank God for everybody on the radio station who's been to the radio station. And since God has given me the insight of what he wants done in my life, it is to do the will of God. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Whether it's by television, whether it's by radio, whether it's by phone connection, whether it's by email, everything we have today, we can do it. And see, one thing I will say to God, when God sends the fivefold ministry, like this apostle, like this pastor, like this teacher, like this evangelist, all the fivefold, we come together and come in one conclusion that there is no God like our God. There is no Jesus Christ like our Jesus Christ. And there is no Holy Spirit like the Holy Spirit. So we got one, the Father. We got the Son, two. And number three, we got the one who's present in the earth realm today. So tonight I want to thank God for everybody listening in and stay on the line. I have this brother coming up, Pastor Irvin. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Just go ahead and put the word out there. Spit it out. I know you got it in you.
Amen. You know, Pastor, you talked about sitting there and see when we fall, you know, and you get discouraged. Well, praise God. I call those days of learning. You know, we don't fail God. Sometimes he throws us a curveball just to keep us on our toes. And when we do fail, we get back up. But he also wants us to stop and think about what we're doing.
Michael.
So it's not really a failure, and we can't, like I said, we can't fail God because he already knows. He's made a way for us. Praise God. you know, and going along with exactly what we were talking about on that very same thing, you know, God sits there and tells us to write the vision and make it plain for
make
those to read and run with it. You know, so many times there's a visionary and then there's the realist. And the visionary sits there and he sees way out there and he sees all this and he sees the buildings and he sees the ministry or whatever it is, the manufacturer, whatever it is. And all he's got his eyes on is the end product.
Mm-hmm. My.
What it takes the realist to make it happen. And a realist and a visionary, they do not get along. Yet they need each other. I have gone with so many people who've been. I help a lot of different ministries, and they got the vision, and they run with it, and they don't sit there and they want to accept to count the cost. They don't want to sit and figure out, okay, I'm going to lose these people over here because they're not with me on this, or somewhere along the line, as they go forward, they stumble and they fall. And it kind of drags the visionary down. And he doesn't take into account the cost of what it's going to cost to sit there and build that particular thing and all it's going to take in order to do it. All he sees is the vision.
That's it.
Now, we can look up into the sky and we see the sun and we see the stars. We see the sun come up in the morning, the sun go down in the evening, the moon come up and the moon go down. But we look out to the vast world of the universe, with all the other galaxies and all the billions and trillions of stars. And then we sit there and look here upon the earth, and we sit there and we see the microscopic organisms that are in the water and that are in on the plants and. And, you know, everything from the bed bug right on up to the elephant. Don't you think God didn't sit there and take into account that every living thing on earth and throughout the universe, that he did not take into account what it was going to cost in order to do that, even though he had the vision? God puts people in our lives. God puts people in our lives to help us to fulfill the visions that we have. But when you neglect to listen to their advice, you say, "I don't want to hear it." Well, you know, it's going to cost. It's going to take this in order to put this over here to make this happen over here, and for that little piece of the puzzle. And they said, "Well, I don't want to hear that. I look. I don't want to hear that stuff."
Oh, Jesus.
They fail. They fail themselves, and all they've done is created a rolling stone that rolled down the hill. They created something in the midst of their ministry or in their business. Of everything else because they don't want to take the initiative to know the cost. Well, if they understand they knew the cost of oil, it sounds so negative. That's so negative. I can't deal with that negative. Well, that's not negative. It's positive because even if it's a negative, it also draws a positive. It makes no difference. Anything in your life, anything that's in your business, anything that is in your ministry, if you have a vision, you have an idea, and you have a purpose, and whatever that is that God has put into your heart, he also wants us to stop and count the cost. It's not just, well, it's going to take me 3 days or 300 days or I don't know, it's going to take the rest of my life. We don't understand that. We don't know that. We have no idea truly what God has planned for us until we sit down and be silent and ask him, because he's created it, he's put it into your heart, he's put the vision into you that you could see. But also what he has done, he has put everything in order for it to come to pass. But we have to sit there and we have to look at the realist and say, help. And then we have to sit and listen to the laborers, and we have to listen to the foot soldiers, and sit there and listen and take into account what it is doing to their lives, and not to let it to distract us from what we're doing. Because when we stop and help those that are trying to help us, that only prospers everybody. That's where in that of that whole situation God calls the abundant life. It's when we stop and take our eyes off of what we have a vision for in order to help those that are helping us with our vision. We need to sit down and we need to be still and we need to listen to those that God puts in our lives. And like Powerful says, you know, those are bad days. Well, those bad days are the days when you needed to be quiet. You needed to listen. Instead of neglecting to hear, to want to hear what the problem is over here. Well, that's negative. I don't want to hear it. All I want is positive things coming out of everybody. I want positive, positive, positive. We put all that in perspective. Even with those, how negative it is, we can produce a positive energy out of it if we sit and take the time to listen. If we sit and take the time to stop and analyze where we're at and what we're doing. You know, life is a journey. And God has put everything that we need for this journey that we're on. We need to stop and begin to sit. First is to thank God, because every time Jesus created a miracle, the first thing he said was, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Before he even, healed anybody, before he even sit there and multiplied the bread and the fish, the first thing he said was, thank you, Father. We need to sit and say, thank you, Father, for the vision. Thank you, Father, for the help, even though they're not there present before us right now. Thank you, Father, for the wisdom. It's not just my wisdom, Lord, it's the wisdom of those who you put into my life to make it happen. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and for your grace. And thank you, Father. You know, God has given everybody a ministry. And then sometimes I say, well, you know, you got a ministry in finances. Well, okay, well, that must mean that I'm going to sit there and I'm going to handle the money in the church and I'm going to take care of the business end of it. And not necessarily. If God's given you a financial ministry, a ministry, a business, that is that maybe he has it so that you gain the wealth that you can supply the missionaries, that you be able to supply the ministries, and maybe you be able to supply and help bring things into focus for the needs of the body of Christ. As just as it is, as somebody has got, as God has blessed him as a carpenter or a millwright or whatever the case may be. You know, we're not all called to pastor. We're not all called to be a prophet. So we're not all called to be whatever else. We have certain areas in the ministry, just like we all have two hands, two eyes, two ears, 10 fingers, 10 toes. Everything has a place. And
Amen.
Everything has a place in God's ministry. And we have to focus on where it is that we need to be in that ministry. Even the smallest part of us in the ministry has a big part in the kingdom of heaven. I want to encourage those right now who are out there listening and those who are stumbling and those who are having such a hard time. Because if you're having a hard time, maybe it's time you need to sit and listen.
Amen. Praise God.
Maybe it's time you need to sit down because you do have a vision, but you haven't got a working plan because you didn't really count the cost. And the cost was who's coming to help. And Lord, when they come in to sacrifice, how am I going to be able to help them, to keep them encouraged? How is it that we're going to be able to help them and lift them up when they become low? Because I don't want to listen to them because it's negative and I can't get into their problems. Well, you failed. You failed that man that came to help you. You failed everything else. And more so, you failed yourself. Because it isn't about our vision as it is as much as to make it work, to make it grow. And that in doing that is raising those up who come alongside us in order to fulfill the vision that God has given us.
My God.
We have to at times sit down and be still. You know, most, and you can look and sit there and see most of the major and the most successful manufacturers, businessmen, or whatever else, they had counselors.
Yes.
They had people that they could go to and listen to. And unfortunately, if we can see in the governments today, in the ministry, they want yes men. All they want is yes men. And they put people in there that will sit there and tell them what they want to hear. And we're seeing it failing. We're seeing it failing in the governments and in the schools. We're seeing it failing in throughout everything else in businesses because they put all the yes men in there. Because that's all they want to hear. You know, how many times are we still, even though we say God asks, we ask God and God says that our answers are basically yes, but maybe not right now. This is what we were told. But at the same time, God puts people in our lives that will bring a stern warning, will bring a stern rebuke, that will bring something into your life to awaken you, awaken your spirit, and open your eyes. Because sometimes that person standing there that is seeming to be so negative is probably the most positive person in order to get you through what it is you're getting trying to get through. But we don't see it, we don't hear it. We say, oh, we can't deal with this guy. He's so negative. He's so, well, not necessarily. What may sound negative is true. It might be a positive. Because we needed that to get us over the hump, around the corner, on top of the hill. And because that person foresees the problems that he's going to encounter tackling your vision. And say, no, we need to go this way. No, I don't want to go that way. We need to go. No, we need to go this way. No, I don't want to go that way. I got this vision. This is the way. But you didn't count the cost. And you look behind, and those that God had sent have fallen away. And they've walked away in discouragement. And they walked away because they're fed up. They've had enough. They're trying their best to help you, but if you're not listening, you failed them.
My God.
Counting the cost doesn't just mean nickels and dimes or dollars and cents in your pocket, what it's going to cost to build this, to build that. The overall cost is more what we're going through, what we need and put those people in our lives and listen to them, because God may have a better way for that particular situation that we need to do in order to get to your vision. Moses, granted, when God sat there and told him to go to Egypt and tell the Pharaoh to free my people, he had no idea what he was going through, other than the fact that this is what, but as he went through and he freed the people out of Egypt, and he was trying to do everything on his own, and it wasn't working, and it was his father-in-law says, you need to get counselors. You need to put people in position that are going to take care of these things and help you so you can concentrate on your vision. But he also sat and listened to him. So many pastors and so many other people who fail in business and so many other people who fail even in their marriages is because I'm better, I know more, and this is what I want to do, and I don't care, this is where we're going. And I can testify, I used to be like that. It didn't make any difference. I'll walk right through a brick wall. I didn't care. You know, it hurt. I mean, after I beat my head on the wall so many times, I finally found the door. And that was somebody standing there saying, hey, come on over here. The door's over here. Let me show you how to get in. We can do that. But we also, like I said, we need to sometimes just to be still. Just as David sat still to hear into the mulberry bushes God's voice in order for him to go forward to defeat the army. See, the prince of darkness is always going to come against you. And no matter what it is that we're doing, it's going to come against you. I don't care if you're selling a lemonade stand or if you've got another idea for another type of a Facebook or build a new automobile or whatever the case may be, or even for that of your ministry, whether it be building an orphanage to whatever else it is. So many, I know for a fact, so many pastors look upon the churches that are most successful that have 30, 40, 60,000 people in attendance or more. And they say, I want to be like them. And you only got 20, 15, 10, 5 people. No, God wants you to concentrate on those people. And as you concentrate on those people, and as you bring the word to those people, God will multiply your ministry. Because if you're running after another man's ministry, you will never succeed.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
God put those people in your life for you to minister to. God put those people in your life for you to hear. God put those people in your life to help you build your ministry. But if you're looking at another man's vision, you're going to fail. And those that God had put in those pews, whether it be 2 or 10 or 20 or 100, will eventually walk away unfulfilled, upset, discouraged, and broken. Because you failed to listen. You failed to hear the word of God and take care of what God put before you and raise those up in order for you to be, in order for them to raise you up and help you, whether in your ministry or in your business or whatever firm that God has put into your life in order to become. Not all of us are called to be ministers. Like I said, you know, God has put things into your life that even though you come to know who the Lord is, God has put things into your life to be successful, and it doesn't matter if you're a musician, carpenter, businessman, or whatever the case may be. But at some point in time, somebody had taught you, took the time to teach you, and you sat and listened because you were hungry. Those people who taught you were illest. They were the people who knew and understood what it was going to take in order for you to prosper and put their time into you. Just as much as a visionary is see your vision, those who have seen your vision and liked your idea and spent the time putting themselves and their lives into your ministry, putting their lives into your business, putting their lives or whatever else into, and if you don't count their cost, you failed them. And you failed yourself. I hope I'm making sense to some of out there, because I know there's people out there that are frustrated and discouraged. And I know there's people out there that are in the ministry right now that are dealing with visionaries. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not kicking nobody, I'm not kicking nobody's vision, I'm not kicking anybody for having a vision and wanting to succeed. But you know, I think I'm talking to those, if somebody has that vision, that they need to sit when God says, write the vision, make it plain. The word is make it plain. In other words, you put into the details. Just as God sat there when he wrote his vision and spoke it and made it plain, he knew what the microorganisms were going to be, what they had to do in the waters, what they had to do in the air. He knew what it would take in order to make that seed so it would grow, so it would prosper and reproduce. He knew what it was going to take to sit there and make the clay that made Adam and Eve. He knew what it was going to take for you and me to come to know who he is. And that was sending his son Jesus to the throne, or to the cross. He knew what it was going to take in order to create the universe and what his plan is for the universe, just as much as he knew what he knows what the plan for your life is to be. And if we're not listening to the Creator, we're not listening to the visionary, we have failed. Not him, but ourselves.
Mm. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him.
Amen. 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 You know, so, yeah, like I said, I'm not kicking nobody's ministry. I'm not kicking anybody. Don't get me wrong. Because, like I said, this is something that's been on my heart. I've dealt with so many. I've helped build businesses, and I've had to beat my head up against the wall to make them listen, just as much as I've been with other ministries and other things, and help them and have to deal with the same problem over and over and over again. Even though they have a vision, they have an idea, they don't want to listen to those who have the skills and the means in order to make their visions grow.
Amen.
So, amen. So we need to humble ourselves before God. We need to stay humble before those who came to help us, who God has sent and put in our lives. We need to be humble and be thankful. We need to sit there and be graceful. In order for us to be able to prosper in all good things, and all things that we're doing through the body of Christ for each other. You know, one of the greatest things in the whole world that I've ever done in all my life was to come to know who Jesus is. The second greatest thing that I've been able to do was when God sat there and he put me in disaster ministry. And then from that, I've gone into missionary work. I've gone in doing a lot of other things. You know, even though I've learned how to fly airplanes, and even though I had 7 years of doing medical, and I've had construction business, and I've had finance companies, and all these other things that I've had, you know, it's things become pretty easy for me. But the greatest thing, was what God called me, and I finally answered, and I said, "What, Lord?" And He brought me into the ministry, and what He has given me, and the hopes and the ideas for to prosper those who are in ministry, to help and prosper those who are down and out. You know, it's one of the greatest things that God has ever given me in my life, and I am so blessed to be a part of it. I'm so blessed to be a part of this radio program. I'm so blessed to know each and every one that I've met on air, those who I've met in the churches, you know, and those who are still coming. I'm going to be even greater and more so blessed. But I also pray that I stay humble enough, even though I have an idea and a direction that I want to go, that I stay humble enough that I will continue to learn from those who God puts before me as much as it is that I want to be able to teach and for them to grow. You know, this is an attitude that we need to take, because even though each of us has a vision and we have and ask God for a direction, we still need road signs. We still need things in order to get us to that place to where we're going. And sometimes it's the one we least expect to hear from or understand. The one that's probably the most annoying, the one who is most objective, are the ones who may have the key that you need in order to open the door to continue on that path in the direction that you need to go for your ministry.
Amen. Praise God.
So I think, guys, that's about all I have for tonight, you know, and I hope I help somebody also to understand you, you know, because like I said, none of us really know the true plan of what God has for us. If we say have an abundant life, but how can we have an abundant life if we sit there continuously kicking the things that God puts before us that are trying to help us?
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. So, boy, I appreciate everything tonight, and I love you all. And like I said, I hope it's helped somebody.
Amen. Well, that's what the gospel is all about, to reach out and touch and change someone's position. So we thank God tonight for you, Pastor Irvin, and I want to let you say, to glory be to God, what God has done for us. And you were speaking how to increase our faith. That's all. How do we increase our faith? Don't walk backwards, walk forward. Believe in what the God of Israel has said through Yeshua HaMashiach, and it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. It
Amen.
Shall come to pass. Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has made it unto you.
Amen.
Your faith has made you whole. And so the
Amen.
More we look at the Word of God, hallelujah, the more we look into the Word of God, the more we get excited about what God is doing. Because what God has done for all of us on the radio line, we heard the Word, we believed the Word, we digested the Word, we're speaking the Word, we're pressing the Word outside, to the outside. And we're saying to someone, I don't care what you do to me, God's got me. I don't care what you do. God's got me. Because when
Amen.
We're in the grace of, when we're in the grace of God, God has us. From everlasting
Amen.
To everlasting, God's grace. See, grace for grace, that's awesome, isn't it? The Bible says grace for grace. Good God Almighty. The unmerited love for the unmerited love. What God has done for us. And I want to thank all of us as we come into the month of December. And I want us just to continue to pray that God's going to bless us. And so if anyone had any words they want to say, a prayer request, they want to pray for somebody, the line is open. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I would like, if I could, real quick, because we're, you know, like I said, we had to postpone that trip until the 10th to go to Central America, because one of the other passengers had to have knee surgery. She was planning on getting the surgery after she came back, but she couldn't walk, so she had to have it done, so we postponed it. I just pray that you would keep us all in prayer as we go forth on this mission. We're planning on visiting some orphanages and some other people. And I know God has a great work, because I'm going to tell you something, guys. When I went to the Philippines, somebody called and said, "You going to the Philippines after the typhoon that killed 10,000 people?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm trying to get a plane out now with the UN military plane." And the man says, "Don't worry about it." I said, "I got your plane ticket." Money started coming in for that. Then when I went to Haiti after the earthquake that killed almost 300,000 people and left 400,000 orphans, they asked, "Are you going to go to Haiti?" I said, "If God gets me a plane ticket." That afternoon I had a plane ticket, and I had almost about another $2,000 to $3,000 to go with to Haiti. See, when you're doing the work for the Lord, as God sits there, He says, "Don't worry about taking two pairs of shoes. Don't worry about taking a purse or coat or what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat. Because when you're doing the work for the Lord, it's all provided."
That's right.
And just as much as I know that this trip that I'm going on, it's all been provided. My plane ticket was paid for. I have another ministry called me up and sat there and said, "We want to." Before I even asked anybody, I haven't even asked anybody for any money. He says, "We want to support you going on your trip. When are you going?" I told him, and it was just the day after I said, "Yeah, I'll go to Central America." I hadn't had the money in my pocket to do this. So I know going is a thing that God has planned for me to do, to minister to somebody there, or all of us that we're going, to minister, to touch somebody's life. So
amen.
When you're doing, I'm telling you guys, when you're doing the work for the Lord and you're doing, and He's sending you out, don't worry about it. God will provide. So I just ask in prayer, you know, for the trip that we're going on, and that we be able to touch those and be able to see those who we need to talk to.
Praise God. Amen. All right, anybody else out there listening, want a prayer request or got a testimony want to give? Amen. Well, I just want to say to y'all today, tonight, what God has done for us today. And every one of us has stood in the trenches and we fought that good fight. We kept our heads up. We kept our morality up. We kept our ideals up. We saw what God is doing for us and through us. And one of the great things I love God for, when I see what He said in the New Testament, where we abode, where we live, where we understand what He's saying. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. And it's still removed. He didn't say push it, don't climb it. He said, speak to the mountain. Whatever is in your way, speak to it. It's a faith factor. And the more we do what God told us to do, the better we can. And you know, because things are constantly changing the world we're living in. We're finding these Middle East groups, see, ISIS got scared now because America done really entered into the game. And they know what America will do. And they know what this president would do. So they done kind of got scared. See, the devil ain't scared. He's getting full of fire. He wants to come back again. But no. And see, but we got to pray for Israel. We got to pray for Israel. Because that's what a bone and body is. And as I told some people, when that fight going, we're not going to be on the earth realm. It's going to be between God's first son, His first love. They're going to have to fight the fight. But we in the heaven going to pray for them. We're going to be sitting in the heaven, sending back the words, the angels, and they're going to fight. And I'm telling you, See, the devil has lost, oh, glory to God, the devil has lost his battle. He has lost his battle. He lost it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And, I put this, I saw this in Psalm 27:24-7 said, lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be lifted up for everlasting doors. And the King, hallelujah, the King of glory shall come in. The gates of our heart, the gates of our mind, the gates of our thought process. Lift up your hands and say, Father, I surrender that you can come through the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm getting happy again. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, tonight, I just want to say again, much things we got to do, and I just thank y'all for being there with us. And I thank God for the radio station. I thank God for those who come to the radio station doing what they're doing. And I know that everybody will do what God has told them to do. That's why I talk to you individually. I try not to spread business. I try to say business is between business and business. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
See, water and see, H2O and H2OCl can't sail together. See, you got two components of hydrogen, one of oxygen. You got two components of hydrogen, one component of chloride acid. They can't come together. That's what it means. So tonight I want to ask someone to enter in prayer tonight for what God has done for us. Anyone on the line will enter in prayer. Amen. Well, Father, tonight we just thank you once again for everything you have done for us.
Thank you, Father.
And how you have kept us and you've shown us your way. And then because you are the true and living God, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, you're still God.
Yes, sir.
And it's through Jesus Christ that we just say, Allah, 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 Allah. We give you the highest praise in the tongue that we can. And we say, thank you. Tonight, we just believe, Father, we have been set free with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Through you, Father, we have all that we need. And we know that all things work together. And then, Father, because I just want you to put more words in our mouth, words in our heart, that we can just speak your word. Let the meditation of my heart be accepted before thee, O Lord. Let it be accepted before thee. Let my prayer, let my petition, let them be accepted before thee, O Lord. For you said, I am the Lord, and I lie not, and there is no other God beside me. This radio station is dependent upon you, Father, for the growth, for the growth, for the growth, for the growth. For the reaching, the touching, the unbelieving, seeing them to come into it. We're not trying to press them. I want to press them into the kingdom of God. I want to thank you from coast to coast, north, east, west, and south. I want to pray for those people in Chicago that they will come to an understanding. May the truth be revealed. Hallelujah. And then, Father, I pray for the president. I pray for both sides of Congress. I pray for the Supreme Court. I know your word. I know your word is supreme. And we all going to have to bow before you. For you said in Romans, hallelujah, 10, you said, for all of us going to have to give account of what we've done, whether it's in the body or after the body. We just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for the teachers on tonight. I want to thank you for some on there. I want to thank you for those around the world. And, Father, we just declare this night that the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, is moving upon our lives. We're not ashamed of him. We know who he is. He has a soul. He has a mind. I want to thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, we love you. Holy Spirit, we thank God for you. Holy Spirit, without you, we do nothing. Holy Spirit, you have given us the power to watch over the activity of the enemy. And you know it better because God has given you that position because you're watching over it right now. Hallelujah. And then angels on assignment come and visit us. Visit us and bring the blessing that belongs to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
And amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you all.